If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another expert episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today, I am joined by very renowned expert Bella Gandhi, who is the founder of the Smart Dating Academy. She has been featured on the Steve Harvey Show, Good Morning America. Steve Harvey has called her the fairy godmother of dating. She is a true expert in this. She started Dating Academy in 2009, but this goes even further back than that. She has always had a passion for helping people find partners and setting people up. I really enjoyed talking to her. I'm always very hesitant to talk about dating on this podcast because I want it to be an insulated topic from those of you that are in the thick of a breakup. But she has such a wealth of knowledge that I wanted to make sure to share that with this community. I loved the theme that we have sort of throughout the entire episode of dating should be done with support. I talk about that all the time with breakups, that you shouldn't go through it alone. And her take is you should also be utilizing as much support as possible when it comes to your dating life. But I ask her all the questions that I think are the most commonly asked in my DMs and in emails about, when is it the right time to start dating again after a breakup? How do you overcome the mindset of, I'm never going to find someone, it's too late for me, my ex was the best thing I was ever going to get, how to foster trust within yourself better, and all of the things that you guys want to know about dating. So I know you guys are really going to enjoy Bella, and I hope you connect with her and her podcast as well. Welcome, Bella, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It is very exciting to have you on and to be able to, you know, share your experience with my listeners.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is kind of a repeat what I was just talking to you about before we hit record, but I have always been very particular about dating advice on this show. Even like on the podcast in general, I get pitched to sponsor dating apps and stuff. And I'm just always very protective of this audience because it's people obviously that are going through breakup. So I'm always very cautious about dating stuff coming in, but I'm really, really excited to talk to you. You have such a wealth of experience and knowledge. And can you tell us how you got started? I love your story. I was reading on your website, but if you could tell us a little background on how you got started with this, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like so many problems in the world that need solutions, mine started in my college dorm room where I got out of a on again, off again, high highs, low lows relationship. And the last low, which left me like flat on my back, looking up at the ceiling going, how the hell did this happen again? And I sat down and started to do some introspection for the first time for a 20-year-old, right? And so I started to realize the common denominator and a lot of what was going on in my dating life was me, right? I wasn't attracting the wrong people. I was accepting the wrong people. So I developed my own little model back in my dorm room and started dating someone that I had been friends with for 6 years. We got engaged, we got married, we've been married for over 25 years. So I started to teach all my friends how to do this. I started finding them partners. So this is just something that was innate in me. This is all while I was working in finance, M&A, and owned a manufacturing business, by the way. So this was just like the thing that lit me up to my core. So finally, in 2009, I was terrified of failing. And I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but I was like, could I, should I? And everyone's like, go do it. So I jumped off the diving board, scared to death. And it was the best decision ever. I started Smart Dating Academy and took this process out to the world. And I'm so humbled and grateful that we've been able to serve thousands of people in a way that helps them to really look inside of themselves, look at dating patterns, red flags, who am I accepting, and then start to date. Our trademark is high GPQ, high and good partner qualities. And we have a process to do that. And then mindfully dating across all pipelines, online dating, meeting people in the wild, getting set up. And then we help them, like personal trainers, make sure that they're doing the right things week over week. We are in inboxes, writing message, helping people break up when it doesn't work. So we're monitoring the relationship. So I couldn't be more in love with the work that we're doing.
That's amazing. I feel like it does take a special person like you to do it, because anytime I've tried to set up my friends, I'm so nervous. I like will almost never do it because I'm just so, I don't feel like I have a talent for it. And I'm just always so nervous I'm going to set someone up with the wrong person. So I'm glad that there are people out there like you that have this passion and innate ability to set people up. And I loved what you said about attraction versus accepting. What am I accepting versus what am I attracting? Because I feel like the word attract can also get kind of, it feels like you have to be attractive physically to attract good partners. So I love this idea of what am I accepting versus what am I attracting?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that to your point, that when we say, oh, well, you know, I'm attracting, meaning I'm bringing in the wrong people, but that makes us passive. It's the passive voice. When you change that reference and that thought to I'm accepting, remember the beauty of dating and relationships, you guys, you have agency in this. You don't have to eat what's put on your plate. You don't have to accept the passenger that comes into your car, because remember, you have the steering wheel of your dating life and your love life. And I know right now it might feel raw and it might feel like you're in this place where you not only do not have the steering wheel, maybe you're under the car tire. We have all been there, but I promise you, you do have the power over your dating life. So I hope that gives you even a glimmer of inspiration. If you're in that dubious place of, oh God, I don't know if I can do this again. You can. Remember, people call me a psychotic optimist, because our mantra is, you know what? Just keep going. Love is going to come to you. It's a when, not an if, right? It's when we start to say, if, I don't know, maybe it's just not meant for me. No, hell no. It's meant for you. You just have to do what it takes until you find the right lid to your pot.
Yeah. And let's talk about mindset, because I do think that's a really big piece of this is having, and I know it's difficult. Like this is so out of my wheelhouse. I haven't dated in a very, very long time. Most of my friends are married, but I do have some friends that like when they're talking to me about their dating lives, I want to say, oh, it's going to come. But I also know there is a big struggle around that. How do you help people with that mindset of there's not a scarce amount of people that you could ever be with in your life? It's not, you don't reach a dead end where you're never going to find someone ever again. Is there any ways that you help people with their mindset?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. We talk about how important mindset is, right? Because your thoughts lead to your feelings, right? Your feelings lead to your actions. So if you have negative thoughts, there's nobody out there, everybody's degenerate, I am not cute enough, whatever that is. When you have that thought, your mindset becomes negative. You feel negatively. So now, even if you're on the apps, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to see everybody as a drug of humanity. You're going to be like, left swipe, no, 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 which leads to the actions of having no dates and discouragement. So mindset is so important. And I want you to take this, write it with red lipstick on your mirror. Do what you have to do. Love will come to me. It's a when, not an if. I have all our smart daters do this and people send me pictures of it. I'm like, I want you to reseed that thought in your head about mindset. So number one, just understanding, here's a metaphor I can give you. If I say to you, walk into a party and tell me all the people wearing red. You're going to come in and you're going to tally up. You're like, Bella, 13 people were wearing red. And if I say, well, Kendra, how many people were wearing purple? You're like, well, you told me to look for red. I don't know. This is what happens on the apps in life. If you are thinking the negative thought and in that negative mindset, it's almost impossible that you're going to see somebody that looks good to you. So know this. This is how our brains are wired, and do what you have to do to get into the right mindset. And you know yourself best, right? Maybe you need to exercise more. Exercise for me is more of a mental health thing than a physical thing. Like, I have to move to get the endorphins and the dopamine going. What is going to get you to start to be in that positive mindset? Is it sunshine? Is it talking to your best friend, calling your mom, whatever that is? But there are so many things that lead to a positive mindset. Isn't something that's just granted to us. It's active and we have to work on it. So nobody usually wakes up in the morning going, I'm amazing. Life is amazing. And here we go. We might have a moment like that, but then we have sort of the down on the roller coaster. So just know that it is under your control to some extent. And whatever control you have, take it.
Yeah.
Because it makes it more fun. Mindset is key.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, I don't know why this came to me, but I feel like there are probably people, it's also about like protecting your mindset around that. I feel like we all have people in our lives where it's not healthy to talk about dating, whether it's a parent that's like, have you found someone yet? Or, you know, that. So I think also knowing who to talk to in your life about dating. Like, I tell people when they're going through breakups, if you have a friend that's telling you to get back out there, get back out there, get back out there, and you're not ready, you have to set up a boundary for that. So I think making sure you're talking to the right people about dating instead of people that are going to make you feel bad.
I love that so much. And I'm going to leapfrog onto this point. In dating, there's this fallacy that everyone else can give us great advice. Our neighbors, our lawyers, our moms, our grandmas, our friends. And when we have clients at Smart Dating Academy, we tell them from today on, you are black boxing your dating life with us, period. Like, no more. One day you're going to be so excited. And, you know, maybe 3-4 months into meeting someone, you're going to be like, you guys, I have a surprise. This is my new partner, my new boyfriend, my new girlfriend. And all of your friends will be like, wait, what? Right? But keep that with us, because we are going to keep you positive. We're going to keep you from more red flags. We're going to keep you from doing the same things over and over again. And to your point, well-intentioned people that are saying, oh, just dust off and get yourself back out there, they don't know what's going on in your heart. Hell, I put people into dating detox for 8 weeks after a breakup.
Okay, right? That was one of my questions for you.
Absolutely. Like, you know what? You need to take time off. And there are people, and I bet you know this, and you've just referenced it, that are like, you know what? I'm just going to get back out there. I'm ready. I'm like, you are not ready. Yeah. You are not ready. This is you need 8 weeks. I'm putting you on hold. Call me in 8 weeks and let's see how you are. And then they invariably come back and say, I'm really glad that you made me shut off all the apps and stop my coaching. Thank you. I'm like, go to therapy. Hang out with your elevator people. That's a concept that we also have, like the people that elevate you in your life. Who are your elevator people? I actually did a TED talk about the secret to falling in love is find an elevator person. So be around people that bring you joy and do things that bring you joy, right? And one of the things, you might like this, as you're the breakup master, when our clients do break up, I'm like, you know what? Forget about the romanticizing that's going to happen in your brain, because our brains always want to go back to that idyllic time, how awesome they were in the beginning. I was like, make a list. And this is from psychological research called negative reappraisal. Write down all the shit, all the bad stuff, all the heartbreak they gave to you, all of the negative things. Put that list up everywhere in your house. So when your nostalgic brain goes back to the first 3 months, no, be like, what did it end with? That's who this person was.
Yeah. And even I hear this a lot from people in my DMs and when I was doing coaching, of when they go back out dating, all they're doing is comparing this person to their ex, but only the good stuff. They're not saying like, wow, this person was so respectful of me, whereas my ex wasn't. It's like, oh, they don't do this as well, or they don't do that as well. In your opinion, what is the role of reflecting on past relationships when you are dating? Because obviously you don't want to carry your ex's stuff to someone else, but we also do need to learn from our past.
Yeah, I think that past reflection is really important prior to dating, prior to getting yourself back out into dating. So, you know, one of the things that we do, if this helps you guys on how to think about this, you know, when a client comes into our practice, it's at minimum for 6 months, usually 12 months, and we have them fill out something called the marriage map, and we use it interchangeably. It's like, okay, we have them do analyses of all of their prior relationships, also with their childhood, right? So I know the constellation of data points that I'm looking for to see what predisposes this person to accept certain types of partners, certain types of behavior. So number one, know what your patterns are, know what you've done. If you haven't written it out and you feel like, well, I've talked about it in therapy, blah, blah, blah. There's real power in taking pen to paper or fingers to a keyboard and writing it down. My clients will come out of our process even before it kicks off, just filling out the paperwork. They're like, God, that was like 10 years of therapy in one set of questionnaires. So really doing that deep dive. And then what you want to have is someone alongside with you that will help you not repeat those patterns again. Look at divorce data. 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. When people get up, dust off, get back out there, try it again, 67% of second marriages end in divorce and 74% of third marriages. If you need help, and this sounds like, oh my God, I've been dating same dude, different face, decade over decade. There are solutions to this. Have someone that can hold your hand. I always say we wrap you up in bubble wrap through the process to make sure that you don't get dinged up again, right? And so have a plan. Know your patterns before you go into dating, and then know what the red flags are by phases of dating, because human beings, you know this and I know this, we tend to do what's comfortable versus what's right.
Yeah. Even if we tend to go with what's familiar to us, even if it does cause pain, because at least it's familiar and it doesn't give that anxiety of what's going to happen. At least I know what to expect. And I think I know for me, there were times where it was, okay, I'm not going to date this kind of person. My history was always dating people who are emotionally unavailable, couldn't commit to me. And so I had this thing of, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. But the second like the endorphins hit and the, like all those chemicals, it's like, well, I'll give it a few months to see if maybe they want to commit in the future. So it's just, it's so easy once you're in it to like wipe all of your non-negotiables or your needs away. So I love the idea of having something to be accountable to or someone to be accountable to.
We protect people from themselves, essentially. Yeah. Right. And that's, I say that with great love and great affection, right? And it's, I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, right? And one of the things we teach at Smart Dating Academy is a lot of chemistry that we feel immediately is familiarity.
Yeah.
And I remember after this breakup that I referenced that put me on my back, anyone that looked like my ex, I was ready to go out with in a minute. I look back at that time in my life, I'm like, what was wrong with me? It was familiarity.
Yeah.
And so to this day, I teach my clients, I'm like, a lot of the experiences are my own anecdotal, like I learned so much. I'm an analyst at heart. And then it's uncanny about how this happens. And we think that we have to have chemistry right away in order to give somebody a second date and a third date and a fourth date. When my clients come in saying, oh my God, I just went on the best first date. It was amazing. I felt like we'd known each other forever. I'm like, you have. He was your ex and your ex and your ex. So it's not good to have all that chemistry right away. So yes, we're a little contrarian in what we do, but we've had zero divorces in 15 years.
That's insanely incredible to think about. And that's a question that I get a lot too, is first date, not feeling chemistry, do I go for the second date? And it seems to me that according to what you guys do, yes, chemistry is something that builds over time. It shouldn't be instant, because if it's instant, that's usually just some brain chemicals happening.
You know, lust is nature's way of tricking us into attachment.
Love that quote. I'm sure a lot of people listening can feel that one.
Oh my God, it's a trap. Be careful of who you give your power to, right? When you're making out with people, sleeping with people, right? You can do whatever you want to do, but especially for women, no, we have so much power, right? And know your power. We have power in our emission of oxytocin, the attachment hormone. And for some of us, right, we make out with someone, you sleep with someone, and we have oxytocin in logarithmically higher levels than men do, right? So as soon as we're doing that, essentially what we're doing is we're taking our power and we're handing it to someone that might or might not have earned it. And that's how we tricked into attachment.
Yeah. And I feel like too, there can be, I mean, at least I know from people that I've worked with, that is why, like, after a breakup, it is so important to take a break, because it is so much easier to get attached to someone when you're hoping that they're going to solve something going on within us. I always say it's like if you throw a drowning person a life preserver, obviously they're going to get really, really attached to it. So I think that's another, you know, thing of to,
right.
I mean, yeah, be careful of who you give your power to.
100%. So it's funny. I have a 15-year-old son who had a girlfriend for 5 months and is just going through a breakup this week. And it's so astounding how similar we think teens are teens and adults are adults, but the pain, the questions, the analysis, it's so similar. I feel like this has been so eye-opening for me. I've been doing this for 15 years, basically since he was one. And to walk through this has been like, you know, you feel the feelings like I do this as a job, but then you have a child that's going through heartbreak. It brings out the mama bear.
Yes. Whenever it's so sweet. Sometimes I get DMs from moms that are like, my daughter's going through this and I don't know how to help her. And those are the ones where I want to help so much, because I can't even imagine watching a child go through heartbreak like that. And it's, you know, it's the first time you've never survived something like that. So it's scary to.
And especially with your boys, mama.
Yeah, I'm sure I will know that in the future.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. So I'll tell you what, like the stuff starts young and it just persists onwards, right? Because as humans, we're just humans, right? I kind of feel like to some extent, it's like, wow, I can think of 15-year-old me, 19-year-old me. I've wizened up, hopefully, in certain ways, but I'm still sort of the same snowflake.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting, the going back to what we were talking about doing that reflection on your patterns and all of that stuff. It is so easy to not do that and to just have things change in some ways, but in some ways it's really the same. And I love that you do that, like the childhood kind of work, because it does all trace back to that. And I think it is really important to take that time and to realize that so much of this is really deeply imprinted into us. And there's usually a reason we are accepting of the partners and behaviors that show up in our relationships.
Yeah. And you know, to your point, when we do these analysis, what I've learned so much through coaching singles through this for 15 years. And especially when you have dated people that are narcissistic or avoidant and all of the things, and maybe you have family of origin issues, you know, with siblings or parents that exhibited those behaviors as well. But what I find is my clients are very smart, and they, you know, many of them could author books on narcissism. I say that tongue in cheek, but they're very well versed in what it is. They're versed in attachment theory. But when they get into the arena, dating, even though they know who their high GPQ person is, a lot of times when they meet good people that could be good partners for them, they're like, I don't know, it's kind of boring. I was like, when I hear boring, I hear dating pattern. And we drill into it, right? And so my job as a dating strategist for them is to change their mindset from screening people out to screening people in. If there aren't red flags and you're not feeling chemistry, and if you have a bad picker, that's what we call it. If I got to fix your picker and you tell me someone is boring, they're probably potentially a good partner for you, but you have to give this time and have someone guide you to this process, because if not, you're going to cut that person off and you're going to go right back for the person that's going to put you on that damn roller coaster. High highs that are only matched by low lows that get lower.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to share your thoughts and feelings while going through a breakup, especially if it's something you're feeling any guilt or shame around. I know whenever I'm struggling with a certain thought or situation and I keep it to myself, it gets heavier and heavier and feels harder and harder to manage. I truly believe we are as sick as our secrets. Therapy has always been a safe space for me to have a judgment-free zone to get things off my chest. Whether it's something from my past, a current struggle, or something I'm anxious about in the future, I always feel lighter when I'm able to share something that feels scary. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. The last time I went through a breakup, I know my mom was someone I was really able to lean on and get support from. She has always been a rock for me through heartbreak and everything in between. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share an idea of something super special that you can gift to your mom. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Every week, they will email your mom a question, and she can either type out an answer or record one. And at the end, MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, and they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. I gifted my mom this, and it means so much to me that I can not only learn so many of her stories, but also preserve them for my kids and future generations. My mom has already talked about how fun it's been for her to reflect on her past and think about things that she hasn't in so long. It even prompted her to dig up some old photos from when she was in the newspaper for being the only female mail carrier in Detroit in the 60s. So cool. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code HEARTBREAK for 10% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about is this idea of learning how to trust yourself when it comes. I think especially people coming out of breakups do not trust themselves, and they are very nervous to date at all, because what if this were to happen again? I can't trust that I'll pick the right person. So for those that maybe are navigating this process more on their own, what are some ways that people can learn to have faith in themselves that they will choose someone that's not going to hurt them or not going to abuse them?
You know, I'm such a fan of having support through a journey. Have someone that's going to support you through that, because you said a key word that resonated with me when you said fear. If you're afraid of picking the wrong person, anything we do from a place of fear, we tend to repeat. So if you're feeling afraid when you're out there, remember, nature points us towards what's comfortable. Comfortable isn't what's right for us. So if this sounds like you, you may not think you need help or want help. I would highly counsel you to get help around this, because it's not a pattern that's easy to break. The way that you start to trust your gut is the same way you would say, well, I'm more comfortable jumping out of a plane. Why? Because I had an instructor take me up, jump with me, take me up, jump with me, take me up, jump with me. The same thing with swimming lessons. In every other arena of life, it's okay to get help and to be taught a process to build our confidence. Here, you get your heart broken and everyone's like, great, go do it again. And you're like, oh my God, what should I do? Right? I wish a process. I mean, I grew up with the poster in my house. And this is probably one of the other things that led me to my career choice, that led me to think about it. My dad's an entrepreneur, and he's not, if I need 10 words to say something or you do, he needs two. Yes, okay. No, yeah. He's that guy, right? Very laconic. Like, so in order to teach us things, he would like put things up, like put articles on my desk. One day I came home and there was a poster in our family room. I'm like, what is this? And it said, it's the 21 suggestions for success, right? My dad's an immigrant from India. You can be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, very typical upbringing. So I was like, okay, this is going to say, get educated, go to a great school, get a great job. Rule number one on this poster, marry the right person. This one decision will determine 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery. And I was like, huh. Okay, 21 suggestions for success in life. And I thought to myself, as I went through boyfriends and breakups, I'm like, you know, if that's the most important thing that's going to determine 90% of your success or misery, who's teaching me how to do that? My parents met on a Sunday. They were engaged on Thursday, married 72 hours later. There wasn't going to be any help coming from that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was the kid in the self-help aisles reading, putting these thoughts together, so such that I was so curious about it. And it probably lends itself to this random poster that he never intended to put me into the dating and relationship strategy business. But I'm like, nobody's teaching us how to do that proactively.
Yeah. And if we think about, I mean, I ended up in a super unhealthy, toxic relationship at 18. I did not know the structure of a healthy relationship. It's not something, I think it's something that they should teach in high schools, honestly, to teach people, hey, this is a healthy relationship. This is not a healthy relationship. And this idea of, I don't know, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this with, because I feel like you've really gone through the wave of online dating and dating apps. It almost seems like to my friends that are dating, it's this, there's so many options, yet there's none. Does that make sense? Like, I think people get so overwhelmed by the amount of choices, but also feel like there's no one out there for them. Is that something you find in your clients?
Yeah, for sure. It dates back to those old psychological studies, right? If, you know, there's 85 different types of jam in a grocery aisle, you're going to be like, whatever, like, how can I pick between these? But if somebody's sampling three, like grape, raspberry, and orange marmalade, you'll probably pick one, put it in your cart, and take it home. And online dating is essentially an endless supply. It feels like a video game of candidate, candidate, candidate. And it's so easy to left swipe, I don't like his t-shirt. I had a client say, I don't like the wallpaper behind his head. There's no way we would get along. I'm like, hold on a second. If you met this person at a fundraiser, at a wine tasting, at a meetup group, we give people so much more grace in real life than we do looking at online dating apps, right? And in my TED talk, I talk about, it's called The Secret to Finding Lasting Love. I ask women particularly, and we do this with men, but with women, I'm like, tell me about your dream guy. And we write down everything that they say. Over 15 years, can you guess what the number one thing that women put on their dream guy list?
I feel like is it something super simple? Like they're nice?
I wish. Tall.
Tall. Oh my gosh.
Tall. Tall. Okay. Ideally over 6 feet. Most of the research shows that when women are checking off preferences for online dating, they're checking off, so he should be a minimum of 5'10". Whether they're 4'10" or 5'10". So there's certain things with online dating that get weighted so much higher than in real life. In real life, you could meet someone that was 2 or 3 inches taller than you and be like, oh my God, he's so cute and was so funny and was like a great dancer. And you're completely like, oh my gosh, I love this. But online, you'd be like, left swipe. Not tall.
So true.
That is so true. I like orange heels. And there are so many issues. And it's not the dating app's fault per se, but it's the things that they give us to choose from. You can choose age, zip code, ethnicity, religion, schooling, height, right? They give us these quantitative parameters to choose from. And then we don't realize with percentage multipliers, how many people were screening out by just saying, I want someone 5'10 versus 5'9. If you adjust it by 1 inch, you'll let in hundreds, if not thousands of new candidates.
Yeah.
We don't realize our mindsets when we're dating and the numbers game behind that. It's like, and I don't mean this to be negative, but it's like 1/3 of Americans have undergraduate degrees. Shocking, right? In the world we live in, 1 out of 3, like everyone you know, everyone I know, for the most part, has been to college. Graduate degrees, 17%, right? So suddenly, if you're saying, I want a man, you've just cut out 50% of the population. Someone who is 6 feet tall, only 14% of men are 6 feet or taller. Now that's times 0.14. Then you're looking at graduate degrees. So you realize what could be 1 million people has suddenly come down to 7 with like 4 strikes on a dating app.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you turn a finance person into a dating coach.
I love this. Well, it's also too, going back to what we were saying about a lot of us don't fully know what we want. That's why. So it's, you're putting these parameters on someone who's not even 100% sure what they want out of a relationship. That just gets, it's, I mean, it's like that when someone's sailing and you adjust the degree, one degree difference, and you end up like 500 miles off course. It's 100%. It seems like it's something like that. So what do you recommend when people are approaching dating apps to counteract that?
Cast your net out wide, right? And try not to have a type and do the same thing over and over again. Challenge yourself to find 3 people that look interesting, that look like you like what they say, you like what they're interested in. They may not be appealing to you by photograph, but go out, at least do a video chat with them and find 3 things that you like about them. Start to broaden your horizons.
And I like the come out with, I think, especially when someone is coming out of something like a breakup, they're so heightened to find things wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're so afraid to miss a glaring red flag that we tend to focus. But I like that idea of, maybe screen for red flags, but also what are 3 things I liked about this person that I talked with?
100%. And speaking of breakups, another mistake I see, I'm going to use the wonky word and I'll explain it. It's errors of correlation versus causation, right? Last time, for example, this is what people do all the time. Well, you know, my ex-husband was 12 years older than me, and I'm never going to date someone older again. I'm only looking for my age or younger. I'm like, hold on a second. That was not the issue. Your husband, who was not a great person, happened to be 12 years older than you, but it wasn't his age that made your marriage fall apart. It was his behavior, right? Yeah. And people make these errors all the time. Last time I dated a tall Swedish guy, I'm never dating someone from Sweden again. Okay, it's not all of Sweden. It was that one person.
Yeah.
So you have to look at what were the behaviors of this person, because that's where the friction happens. How did they treat you? How did you guys navigate conflict? What were your values? What were their values? That's where the pot is of swampy stuff. It's not in the outside stuff.
Well, and remembering too, going back to the very beginning of realizing that you have power in your dating life, of also taking a level of accountability and saying, okay, yes, they might have had terrible behaviors, but you also allowed them. So just because I know for some people, it's I'm so afraid that I'm going to encounter anyone in the world again who is emotionally unavailable. And it's no, you can still encounter them, but you're not going to accept them into your life anymore. So it's not like we need to walk around with these castle walls up. It's more, I can see what's happening and then respond to it with an authority of power instead of just, oh my gosh, if someone comes into my life who's emotionally unavailable, I have to let them in again.
Yeah. And our superpower is knowing the signs of avoidance and narcissists and how they play out. Our red flags, we have a handbook that our one-on-one clients get. And it's like phases of red flags during dating, from date zero, which is reading someone's profile, messaging like before the date, then dates 1 through 10, then dates 10 through 15, then post exclusivity. And you see how these things play out. And people are like, oh my God, there's like a cheat sheet to this. I'm like, yes. Like this is the process that, to your point, we should have all learned in high school. So don't be afraid of this. There's help out there. If this feels like this is what you need, just know when you're ready, you don't have to sail this by yourself again. And again, anything we do from a place of fear, I just don't want you to land in that same position again. I heard a great metaphor from someone I follow. He said, you know, I was on a whitewater rafting trip and the guy on the raft, basically, he was new and he looked and there was a tree that we all needed to veer away from. And he was like, oh my God, don't go over there. And what happened? Everybody looked over there and started moving the raft in that direction. And what they later taught the new rafting guide is, instead of saying, don't go over there, what you want to say is head this way. Mm-hmm. This is a metaphor in dating. When you are afraid of ending up with that person, you're looking at the tree in the rapids and you're going to end up potentially right there again. You need something that's going to point you into someone with good partner qualities.
Yeah. My brain is always, I'm in toddler space right now. So when I tell my toddler, don't run, running, 100% running. I have to say walk, walk, you know, so it's very much trying to reinforce the optimistic side, or what do I want instead of I'm going to try to stay away from this.
I don't want an avoidant. I don't want a narcissist. I don't want my heart broken again. Guess what? That's what you're going to walk into. Of course, you don't want that. And I'm praying that that never happens to you again. But there is, I promise you, I'm a psychotic optimist for you, dear listener, and love exists for you, particularly. It's a when, it's not an if. And just take that hope inside of you and picture that as like a beautiful heart that's glowing in your abdomen. That love is out there for you. And I want you to carry that image with you, that that love exists.
I hope everyone takes that, it's not an if, it's a when, and puts that somewhere on their mirror.
Writing or red lipstick on your mirror.
Yes, I love that. So my last question for you is, I feel like a lot of the dating advice out there is just live your life, it'll happen kind of a thing. So I feel like there's a balance between living your life, being happy, all of that, but also you're not just, someone's not going to fall into your lap in your house, you know? So how do you help people navigate that line of not becoming too obsessive about apps, dates, constantly trying to look, but also making sure that they're putting in some action to make it happen? Hopefully that question made sense, but
it makes complete sense. And I think it's another one of those fallacies, right? If you found yourself jobless, would anybody ever tell you, don't worry about it, just live your life and the right job's going to fall into your lap?
No. Yeah.
Right? If you wanted to lose 50 pounds, so just live your life. It'll just fall off of you. No. Dating is very similar to that. I'm not saying you have to turn it into a job, but it's just like you would put job search or health and wellness into your life. You have to do certain things consistently in order to bring that into your life. You won't get anything big in life starts because we have an end goal and then we're taking steps towards getting there. So again, it'll come to you when you least expect it. Not exactly. Yeah. Not exactly. And people go on living their lives and they're like, well, it just hasn't happened yet. And I figured, you know, if I just go on living my life, I'm like, but are you open to it? Are you looking for it? Is your cab light on your head, right? Mm-hmm. Are you available, right? So there is, don't think that this is a passive process. In anything you do in life, it's active. So if you want to be out there and meeting people, be receptive.
Yeah.
Look like you're interested in others. Have a dating plan. A good dating plan has three components. I look at three candidate pipelines. Online dating is one. Meeting people in real life is another. And then getting people to set you up. Now, how are you going to push on those three levers to generate good candidate? I call it deal flow. Again, the old finance person. Well, how are we going to get good deal flow coming through? Okay, here are the deals. Who's got red flags? They're out. Okay, who's got green flags? They stay in, right? And so our clients, we have a whole, we have graphs. What healthy relationship trajectories look like. Nobody gets exclusive in our process until you've been on a minimum of 15 dates over 3 months. We call it sexclusivity. Hold off on that until you're in an exclusive relationship so you keep yourself objective without all the crazy making hormones that you were referring to.
Yeah.
Have a funnel. When you have options, guys, you have power.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your funnel open.
Yeah. I think especially when people are so eager to find someone, when you find a pretty good candidate, it's so easy to just lock on to that. But then that's when you're at risk of losing your objectivity and losing your power in that and getting very attached.
Yeah, too quickly without doing a full eval.
Yeah. I love the combo of your experiences and bringing this into dating. I think it's so cool that you're able to take all these analyses and all of that and help people with dating, because yes, it is a subjective process of how do you find a partner that's right for you, but there's also clearly a great system that can work for it as well.
Yeah, I literally every day, I'm just grateful that people put their trust in us to hold their hands through this journey. We, like I said, we wrap you up in bubble wrap and hold your hands and are on your shoulders, making sure that you stay out of harm's way. So I don't take that for granted, not for 1 minute of one day.
I love that. Well, can you let people know where they can find you, where they can connect with Smart Dating Academy? And I know you have a podcast as well. So if you could just let people know how they can
be
connect
on it
with you.
Soon.
Yes, which I'll be on soon.
We're going to give you a break from baby stuff.
Yes.
Come on. So you can find me, follow me on Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. Come to our website, fill out a contact form. You'll be thrown into our free newsletter database. So you'll get podcast episodes first, notified of free events, investment events, whatever. And then, the Smart Dating Academy podcast is wherever you get your podcast. There's over 135 episodes over the last 2 years. And turn on your TV. I'm the relationship expert on GMA. So whenever there's something going on, just hit up my Instagram. You'll see what's going on.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Bella, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience. And I hope everyone checks out your podcast and connects with you there.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.